Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast on this steamy Tuesday. We're presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up, and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We are here in our very finely air-conditioned West Loop Studios.
Temperate. It's beautiful.
I was a little, really nice. Little worried.
A little bit worried.
Had issues.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I think we should probably still worry. I don't know if we're out of the
woods
yet.
Nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah. No, I was a little worried getting up to the third floor and like, man, if that door is propped open, I'm just turning around and going home.
I'll do it for my car.
Yes.
Thank you. We got a lot to get to today. The Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday. We are going to discuss that. We're going to preview that. We've also got our favorite Stanley Cup moments, non-Blackhawks, that we're going to go over today on the eve of the Stanley Cup Final. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, but warning, this will not be an entirely Blackhawks show. So if that's not your thing, there's other
stay
options.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Stick around.
Yeah. Stick around. We're going to have fun.
There are many ways that we can turn it around to say, well, how does it affect the Blackhawks?
Absolutely.
Then would we become Maple Leaf fans? Because everything apparently affects the Maple Leafs.
Hey. It's the off season. We gotta keep the news cycle going, right?
But since it's a Stanley Cup memory show, there will be no Maple Leafs talk.
Good point.
Ooh,
strong point
zing.
By you.
Burn.
So as I was before we get to that though, we do have a little bit of Hawks stuff to get to here. Every day when I wake up, I start making the rounds through all the Blackhawk publications, all the hockey news around the league. So I log on to The Athletic and go to their Blackhawks page, and I see here headline: Lazarus, why the Blackhawks shouldn't trade Alex DeBrincat. And right under that, Powers, why the Blackhawks are likely to trade Alex DeBrincat. They're next to each other.
Yep.
And I read Laz's first because I was interested in his take. And we've been discussing this a lot over the last week, month, seemingly year. Because this is the key story of the offseason right now is Alex DeBrincat's alleged availability. You should read Lazarus's piece. I'm not going to read it here for you. But his point is, Alex DeBrincat's really good. Draft picks aren't guaranteed. And Alex DeBrincat will still be really good when the Hawks are good again. All of which are valid points. Mm-hmm. So I want to take this opportunity to clarify my stance on the DeBrincat thing. We discussed it at length yesterday. And you guys can clarify yours as well, obviously. I'm open to it if you're getting a top three first-round pick. And at least one almost guaranteed prospect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not talking about trading DeBrincat to get into the 15th through 20th pick of the first round. Absolutely not. Okay. I need something that is as close to guaranteed success as I can get, or I'm hanging up the phone immediately. That's why, to me, this specific Devils trade rumor that won't, I don't know if it's a rumor, trade speculation that won't go away is intriguing to me because it makes a lot of sense for both parties. But I'm just to be clear, I'm not trading him just to trade him.
No.
You've got to blow my doors off for me to make that
you
deal.
You have to give me the Alex DeBrincat equivalent of the Brendan Hagel trade. Like, we all laughed when we heard, was it Frank Saravalli that said, Blackhawks are asking for a first-round pick for Brendan Hagel. And I scoffed at that idea. I'm like, nobody's going to give you a first round. Then you get two.
Yeah.
And two players.
Yeah.
So it has to be the equivalent of that. Not two late first-round picks and two, you know, borderline NHL players.
Right.
But it has to be like that, oh my God, I can't believe we just fleeced this team for this mm-hmm. player. That's the type of...
I go back to what Elliot Friedman said on the Oilers Now podcast on 6:30. Chid. where he said, you know, think about what would, you know, hurt a franchise in their future and then add to it, and that's what it would take
Let's
to get Alex
screw
DeBrincat.
A franchise for Alex DeBrincat. That's what I'm for.
Yeah, if the Blackhawks want to completely fleece the future of the Devils for Alex DeBrincat, I'm looking for in trading Alex DeBrincat, completely to your point, Jay. It's not just to trade him, just to trade him and maybe, you know, get a couple maybes. No, you want to get top three, you know, you want to get prospects that were recent first-round guys that look like, hey, these guys are going to be NHL regulars, NHL, like, top-end players, like a Dawson Mercer in New Jersey. His name's been thrown around there,
too. So think of, like, a Reichel type of prospect. Where he's had probably an NHL look, that the NHL future is pretty certain. We don't know how great Reichel's going to be, mm-hmm. but we know he's an NHL player and a top six one at that, pretty assuredly.
Yeah, if you can get players whose ceiling is impact player, that's what you're looking for, and you're going to get multiples of those.
You basically want to take one season off the rebuild for what you can get for Alex DeBrincat. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, then don't make the trade.
And to the point that Mark Lazarus is making, he's not wrong.
No, not at all.
Nope. Alex DeBrincat is young, elite, proven from everything we know, a good leader. And likely, if he were to sign an extension with the Blackhawks, would be the face of the team in a year or two. Like, we don't know how long I pointed to the freaking bobbleheads. We don't know how long Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are going to stick around. These two right here, we don't know how long they're going to stick around. They are currently the faces of the team, but DeBrincat is in the, you know, Mount Rushmore of this current roster of
about
the face
being potential captain
material
in a year or two.
So yeah,
so you don't trade that guy just to trade him.
No,
trade that
absolutely
guy to
not.
Make your franchise better and get you closer to a championship.
But to what Power says is the feeling I get is that it is feeling more inevitable that it's the right thing to do in the rebuild mindset.
My only hope with this is, listen, if the Blackhawks don't trade Alex DeBrincat and they lock him up and he's here for the next six or seven years, awesome. I'm a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could trade him and get two or three Alex DeBrincats down the road, I'm in favor of that too. My only hope is Kyle Davidson, and I'm sure this is the case because I have no reason to believe otherwise. Alex DeBrincat or Kyle Davidson has his set value, market value of what Alex DeBrincat should bring back, and you don't waver off of that. I either get exactly what I want,
yeah,
or I'm done. I'm moving on. I don't need to trade Alex DeBrincat. I don't necessarily want to trade Alex DeBrincat, but if you want him, show me how bad you want him and make it worth my while.
Well, and Davidson also has the leverage of, like, look, I can very easily sign him to $10 million for the next however many years and be fine with it. We're not cap-strapped in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, right. We've got cap space. It's not an issue. With Toews and Kane coming off the books, Alex DeBrincat is an easy guy to secure long-term. Does he want to be here? That's another question. But all indications seem to be that he's pretty happy here.
Yeah.
And, of course, he wants to have a chance to win. But, you know, if he feels like in 3 or 4 years they could be back to a playoff team, and then in 5 or 6 years maybe actually contending, he can see this, his style of play, as Mark Lazarus points out, is a style that's going to last. He's not necessarily built on speed or physicality. He is a sniper. And that's not going to go away. That shooting ability isn't going to go away. And as we get into our Stanley Cup final preview here, it kind of reminds me of Steven Stamkos, right? Like a similar style of player where it's not like getting destroyed in the corners and outracing everybody, but it's just that dynamic shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to go away. That's not something that goes as you age.
Right. He's got that master ability to find the soft spots in the ice.
Right.
He's like a not the same necessarily type of overall player, but the same type of shooter as an Alex Ovechkin. Like, how in the hell is he always wide open to get that shot in the left circle? Mm-hmm. Because he's just that good to get there.
Yep. So, anyway, this will be the hot topic of the offseason, and will continue to be until Well, you know, I would expect if it was going to happen this offseason, it would happen at or before the draft, which is early in July. So, you know, we're going to be on this because it's a story that just will not go away. And every Hawks fan, I mean, my Twitter, my DMs, I'm sure you guys had the same thing. People are just like chiming in with their thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to chime in with your thoughts, you can email us blackhawks@allchgo.com. And we can get to some of those on Mailbag Monday or maybe before that.
And
so
speaking of that draft in early July, we're going to knock it out of the park. We got some exciting stuff planned. We're ironing out the details in full, but if you're a big draft nut, this is the only place you want to be for the NHL draft. That's for sure.
I prefer a macadamia nut.
You would.
Yeah.
Too many trips to Hawaii.
That'll do it. Yeah.
All right, so let's get to it. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on ESPN. On ABC. I'm looking at ESPN Plus. On ABC, game one of the Cup Final, Lightning at Avalanche. And I have been wrestling with this prediction since we found out that actually probably before that. Because we sort of knew how it was going to go.
Since the Lightning tied the series.
Yeah, right. And I'm not going to make my prediction yet because, frankly, I haven't yet. I don't know. I want to hear your guys' arguments and see who's going to convince me because, as we've said, I've thought since day one Colorado was the best team in hockey. However, as Greg has said, you can't pick against the Lightning until they lose. And they've won, 11 consecutive playoff series?
11 consecutive series.
And 15 consecutive for Pat Maroon?
Yeah, how about
it's
that?
It's really hard to pick against Tampa. I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to make a prediction yet. I need some time.
I'm ready.
All right.
I truly believe that the Avalanche are the best team in the NHL. They were. I think they were the best team going into the playoffs. I think Tampa is. You know, they're still the champs, obviously, and having a two-time defending champion back in the final, very hard to pick against that. But I look at the. Some of the series that the Lightning have played, they got down 0-2 against the Rangers, had to come back. They had to go 7 against the Maple Leafs in the opening round. I just look at the path that they took to get here, and I compare that to the path that the Avalanche have taken to get here. I'm going with a team that's fresher, has played fewer games, seems to likely be healthier, and I look at the way that Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar have been playing, and I just don't know how, top to bottom, this Avalanche team loses a 7-game series. So I'm going Colorado. I'm going 7 games because I'm greedy as a hockey fan, and I want as many games as possible between these two teams. I think the biggest thing for me that would sway me a little bit more to the Lightning side is the goaltending matchup between Darcy Kuemper, who has been fine. He's been a fine goalie, has done enough to backstop the Avalanche to this point. But Andrei Vasilevskiy is who he is. Arguably the best goaltender on the planet. And that may be the edge that tips it for the Lightning, but I'm still believing that the depth, speed, and firepower of the Avalanche can outgun the Lightning.
I'm kind of like Jay, I'm torn here because I picked the Colorado Avalanche to win the Stanley Cup before the season started. I have them winning the Stanley Cup in our NHL.com bracket challenge. But I've been telling everybody, don't pick against the Lightning. So what do I do here? Do I stick with my preseason pick or do I stick with what I've been telling everybody else to do? And I'm going to stick with what I've been telling everybody else to do. I can't bet against the Lightning. As much as I love the Avalanche, I'm still going to go with the Lightning in 7 because, for two reasons, you mentioned one of them, Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Yep.
The Avalanche have not faced a goalie anywhere near his... They haven't faced real, star goaltending yet. They didn't get Juuse Saros in that first round. The Jordan Binnington-Ville-Husso combination, to that. And then Mike Smith is Mike Smith. That's not an NHL starting goaltender. So they're stepping up in class there. The other reason I'm going with the Lightning is because they have faced some serious effing adversity in this playoff and have bounced back every time. The Avalanche really haven't. Sure, they lost two straight games to the Blues in that series, but did you ever for a second think that series was in jeopardy?
No.
Did you ever think the Blues were going to win that series? No. They haven't had any adversity. The Lightning had to go to Game 7 in Toronto and win after losing Game 1 6-0. They were down 2-0 to the Rangers in the series, down 2-0 in Game 3, and here they are 4 games later back in the Stanley Cup Final. Sure. Avalanche haven't played for 12 days, so that game one tomorrow night can be really interesting.
Yeah.
Here's why I do think the Avalanche have a serious chance to prove me wrong. And if they prove me wrong, then my preseason pick is right.
You can't fail.
So I'm golden one way or the other. So I have put myself in a position
sitting
to
back waiting for the result.
One of my predictions is happening here. But the Lightning have had trouble with speed. They had it those first two games against the Rangers. They couldn't keep up with that speed. Some of that had to do with they had the long layoff. Mm-hmm. And then they had some injuries. And then Gerard Gallant decided, hey, I don't need speed to beat the Lightning. Mm. Let's put Ryan Strome out there with one freaking leg and then watch him let Steven Stamkos skate right by. Gerard Gallant proved in the last three games of that series why he's had to find a new home every 2 years. People love him. And then you go, I don't know what you're doing. The whole Kako thing is a little...
Cuckoo.
I don't understand how you don't go for speed in that game, but again, he's got all summer to not talk about it.
Yeah.
So the Avalanche have speed. They got to use that. If Nazem Kadri can somehow play in this series and be Nazem Kadri, that makes him even tougher.
But if
Braden Point comes and plays and can be anywhere like Braden Point, that makes the...
Which it sounds like is probable.
Yeah, and... I don't care because this is going to be great. Yeah. This is going to be maybe one of the best Stanley Cup final we've had in a long time. We're going to talk about past Stanley Cup finals here in a moment, segue. but I'm still sticking with Tampa in 7. I can't bet against them at this point. So that did absolutely
did
nothing
you,
to
did,
help.
Have you been convinced? One
Actually,
way or the
it
other.
Did, but not in the way you think it did, Greg. Your point that Colorado has not faced any adversity is because they kicked the living crap out of everybody they've played. And they haven't needed any diversity. Diversity.
And they haven't played. But they also haven't played an opponent that could beat Toronto, Florida, or the Rangers.
I mean, you just have to knock down who's in front of you.
I get that.
And they did that.
And they did, impressively.
Yeah. They're just steamrolling people.
But what happens if they go down 1-0 in this series? How do they bounce back?
I look at
They probably do, but they haven't had to yet.
I look at it that the core of this Colorado team has faced adversity over the years. I think one of the points someone made on Twitter recently was that, you know, the Avalanche have to learn to lose. They've lost.
Right. They just haven't learned how to win after those losses.
Yeah, they've lost, and they've had the adversities of... you know, falling short when expectations were really high. You know, last season before that, you know, this group of McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, you know, Makar, like these guys have been around for those losses. And I think this is the point where, you know, we go back to last year where Adrian Dater had that ridiculous question to Nathan McKinnon about overthinking and just saying, you know what, F it, we're just going to go out and win next year. Honestly, maybe that's what they're doing and just saying, screw it. We're just going to rely on our God-given abilities, our speed, and just steamroll teams like we know we can do.
Yeah, and they, you know, good point, Mario, because Colorado has been the darling Stanley Cup pick for a few years now.
Yeah.
People have seen what's coming from them, and you think about, like, the Washington Capitals and their journey to a Stanley Cup and the San Jose Sharks that we talked about a couple of shows ago, like that were just great for a decade but just not good enough. Mm-hmm. There's your adversity is falling short year after year after year, and finally you get Makar reaching this level of player he's at. Bowen Byram steps in and joins. Yeah. You add Nazem Kadri, who's phenomenal. Yes, he's hurt right now, but looks like he'll be back for at least the middle of the series. Yeah. Like they're just – it is their time. But – like Tampa gets better as series go on. They seem to get stronger the longer the series go. And I think part of that is the opponent saying, oh my God, we've blown a series lead, or this team just won't go away. And it's like a heavyweight bout, right? And mm-hmm. the Lightning just wear your ass out to where, and this is how the Hawks were in a dynasty, is teams can hang for a while, but then when the smoke clears, the deeper team is the one left standing. Colorado to me is deeper than Tampa. And I'm looking at the 2 years prior, and it's amazing that they got a chance for a third in a row. But last year's Cup and the year before's Cup have nothing to do with this one. They just don't. They're different seasons. They're different situations. Right. So I can't say, well, they won two in a row, so they're going to win three. I can't let that influence my decision. If I'm looking at these two teams as they are constructed right now, because they're not the same teams, different personnel, all those sort of things, I'm going with Colorado. I'm taking Colorado in seven. And, yes, Vasilevsky is unreal. He is the best goalie in the world, and until he is dethroned, you know, had Shesterkin won this series, we can have the conversation, but he didn't.
Right.
Vasilevsky won. He didn't win the series, but the Lightning won the series, so he keeps the crown. But I just look top to bottom at Colorado and all their firepower and all their speed. And look, if anyone's going to give Colorado a shot, it's the Lightning. But I think this is Colorado's time. They're going to win the Cup. They have been the best team all year round, and they're going to prove it. I think they're going to prove it and win it in seven games.
One other intangible we didn't talk about behind the bench, John Cooper. Great coach. I don't think he is. I think he's extremely underrated when talking about great coaches.
Yeah,
he's the master of the adjustment in a series. He doesn't panic. He doesn't make crazy, oh crap, I'm going to scratch this guy who played for me all year, but then the one game I need to win, I'm going to scratch him because whatever.
Yeah, right.
He never panics. Jared Bednar has been a really good coach. He's never been on this stage.
Right.
I wouldn't underestimate the fact that John Cooper can personally win a game just by out-coaching Jared Bednar.
I remember in 2015, during the Cup final, I was at a Cubs game, and John Cooper was there, and he was just so relaxed. He's just sitting in the crowd. He's smiling. He's like, people are razzing him, and he's waving. You know, he was enjoying the whole, the people were recognizing him, first and foremost. But, like, it was right in the heat of the final, and he was not fazed. You know, like, what percentage of coaches would be like, you know what I'm going
to
do right now?
Go to
in the middle
game.
Of the championship series, I'm going to go to a Cubs game and just chill out for a while. And he, I heard a podcast interview with him, and he was incredibly impressive. And that's a good point. But I think, you know, when it comes down to it, coaching is one thing. And I think a coach's job is to not screw it up. And I don't think Jared Bednar is going to screw things up. You know, I haven't seen any indication from him where he's
too talented.
It's
even if he does make questionable decisions, his team can bail his ass out because they're so good.
Am I missing something from him though? Was there like a decision during these playoffs and that was a bit of a head scratcher from him?
Not that I can really recall, but
they have two playoff losses,
but,
so it's like, what are you going
to
do?
So let's see what happens if Tampa wins that first game. The interesting thing is goaltending for them.
Yeah,
you've got Kemper supposedly ready to come back.
Seems like it.
But there's no reason to put him in necessarily. So you put Kemper in game one and say they lose 3-2. Do you pull the panic button and then start playing hot potato with your goalies?
No, I don't think that that's – I don't think that that result would warrant
or Kemper
having
has,
to hit it.
Gives
hit
up
panic
five.
Button.
You lose 5-4 in a typical Avalanche shootout game. Or you lose 7-6. Because that's been known to happen these playoffs. What do you?
I mean
does he panic and make a change there, and then now all of a sudden you're down 2-0. You lose those first two games. You know.
I think the
at home
the difference between Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz is minimal. So I think if you're making a switch, there has to be something tangible that you're like Kemper is too hurt to continue being, you know, the caliber of goalie they would need. So then you go to your backup.
But that could be the only coaching thing that I could think of.
Yeah, that could be the only switch that could really.
But
backfire.
You're right. There's not much of a drop off between those guys. It's kind of like goalie A, goalie
1A, 1B. Yeah. And it just seems that, and it just, you know, Kemper has been very good. So there was no reason until he was hurt to have to, you know, go to France. So
well, because I'm a huge company guy, I'm going to use this opportunity to make sure that everybody, if you want really in-depth coverage of the Stanley Cup Final, go check out our Avalanche crew at DNVR, our mothership in the Mile High City. They are doing a fantastic job. They've got a YouTube channel, too. They've got a great website. Follow them on Twitter, DNVR Avalanche. check them out. Checked out. They've been doing some amazing stuff all season long. Go through their YouTube channel when you're done watching our show, of course. they'll be able to break down the Colorado Avalanche's playoff run a lot better than we can, and give you some fun stuff along the way. So check out.
I cannot wait to see the social videos from the DNVR bar, yeah. Which is they're going to go through some renovations this summer, but they are only opening for the Avalanche games. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun to see.
And if you are in the Denver area and you do go there, I probably don't have to tell you. Make sure that you're in line early to get a good spot, because I'm imagining
be a hot spot.
That's the place to be for the Stanley Cup Final if you're in the city limits of Denver.
Absolutely.
There's no bald mic to let Lawrence in the back door there.
Not this time. No.
There might be a...
I'm sure there's a bald somebody out there.
Or maybe if you grease the right palms, like, I don't know, Brandon or maybe Allie. I don't know. By the way, has anyone ever talked about John Cooper's resemblance to Michael Keaton? Because every time I see him now, it's just like, God damn, it looks like Michael Keaton.
Looks like who?
Michael Keaton, you know.
Mike Keaton? He does.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, a little bit. Not Mike Keaton, the former coach, but Michael Keaton.
I got you.
Yeah, he's always dropping TLC references. Yes. No one saw that movie. Except
I believe it.
If you have not seen The Other Guys, you should watch The Other Guys. Yeah. It is a diamond in a rough comedy classic.
Well, and I guess, and one thing I wanted to say to the point being that, you know, the Lightning, you know, they have faced adversity. I don't think they've faced a team that has the killer instinct that Colorado, that like the ability to, when they have their foot on their neck to finish it, I think Colorado has, because the Maple Leafs have blue and white syndrome, so they can't finish. The Rangers had them down, you know, down in game 2-0 three with a 2-0 series lead and could not finish it. And that was a series where it was like the Rangers, if they were going to do it, they had to win game three.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it. I think Colorado is talented enough, deep enough, and they have the ability to, if they get up on Tampa, not let them back in the series.
It's going to be fun. I'm proposing 7 best of 7 series. So the best of 7 of best of 7. Can we do that?
Yeah.
The best of 49. Let's do it.
Because I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I hope it's not a disappointment, though. We were all jacked up about the Battle of Florida.
Yeah.
And that was...
Right.
That sucked. No, well, it's going to be great. There's no way this series disappoints.
I think there's too much talent, too many stars, and too many good storylines. That it's just whatever way it pans out, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be great hockey to watch.
I'm happy that a guy like Nathan MacKinnon is going to get his due. He's not. Speaking of underrated, he is not up there when you talk about the best players in the game, and he should be. It's Connor McDavid is the best player in hockey. It's not even, you know, there's no argument there. But that next group right under him, that pack is led by Nathan MacKinnon.
Right now it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's going to get on ABC television tomorrow night. He's on ESPN, ABC, Stanley Cup Final, biggest stage of his career. The talk now
is getting the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's him and Cale Makar are the front runners for the Conn Smythe Trophy. Stamkos is definitely in that conversation.
Who are your Conn Smythe picks?
Connor McDavid.
He might finish as the points leader still crazy. Without playing in the final. That's crazy.
I don't know.
It's so, like, at this point, there's so many guys that have contributed so much to this point. Someone's going to have to take the final by the throat, I think, to really... Like
whoever scores the game-winning goal in game
series. It's going to be like when the writers pick the third star at hockey games, like, 3 is this guy, 2 is this guy, and 1 is whoever scores the game winner.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because the Colorado's got 2 guys that are worthy of it in Makar and MacKinnon. Either one of those guys, you take one of those guys off that team, and they're probably not there. Tampa has been more of a...
That committee,
team. But Stamkos, my God, man,
yeah,
that what he did in Game 6, he was like, "F this, I'm tired of this team, we're moving on, I've had enough." His stone cold killer is what I call him on Twitter, and I mean, maybe this is his year to do that. I mean, he's got what, 9 goals in there, but they've had so many great runs. Palat has been super valuable for that team.
Another underrated hockey player.
You can never, a seventh round pick. Yep. Yeah, you can never underestimate what Victor Hedman does. I think Victor Hedman is one of those guys that's just been so good for so long, we just kind of assume. Yeah.
He's taken
just,
for granted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Duncan Keith was here for a long time. And then, of course, you got Vasilevsky, who, you know, hey, take away game one from each series, he's been a monster.
Yeah.
So
Well, you got to guarantee you win game two. That's why they lose game one on purpose.
There you go.
That pivotal game two is important.
Except for that one time, but then it didn't matter.
All right. Hey,
I'm
the
going
best
with Kale McCarr, by the way.
McCarr?
I'm saying Kale McCarr.
Right now, if I had to pick, that's what I would pick.
Mm-hmm. I would give it to McCarr, but I think the people that actually vote for it would give it to McKinnon, and you can't go wrong.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean,
both of those guys have been phenomenal.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're basically like the same player, one as a forward, one as a defenseman. It's remarkable.
By the way, we've done a little bit on like the ESPN stuff on the show since we started. I saw Kale McCarr was a guest on SVP SportsCenter during the Eastern Conference Final. They are covering hockey.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Like, to have Kale McCarr on, like, you know, via satellite, as they used to call it. Yeah. Now it's via Zoom with the headphones on and just, you know, a good, solid interview about hockey to lead the show. That's great. And for guys like McKinnon and McCarr and Braden Point, if he comes and plays, which he probably will, and Palat, to get on this big stage finally with, you know, the right sort of playoff coverage where it's not just like, okay, turn to NHL Network for your post game, right? Like we had to do on NBC all the time. No, it is a focus in. Even the SportsCenter following will lead with the Cup Final.
Yep.
It's huge for these guys. And we're looking at the was that the odds, Lawrence, for a Conn Smythe winner?
Yeah, I just thought I'd go to our good friends at PointsBet.
How are your new glasses, Greg? Because I cannot see that.
I can zoom a little more.
It is
extremely small. There, that's a little better. Kale McCarr.
Plus 180 for Kale McCarr, plus 225 for Nathan McKinnon, plus 350 Andrei Vasilevsky.
Where is Stamkos?
Plus 375 for Nikita Kucherov. Steven Stamkos.
Boy, I don't even see him on the screen.
Way down there.
What in the
world?
I don't
even see him.
How do you
he's
not
on the board?
He's not on the board.
I know PointsBet is our like great is our great sponsor, and we love them, but come on, man. What are we doing here?
I got to make a call.
That's very interesting.
How is Corey Perry on there, and Steven Stamkos is not?
That's very interesting.
Well, if they add him, it's going to be high odds, and I will take that pick.
Yeah.
There's our play of the week early.
Yeah, I don't really know what. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some reason that he's not. I don't know.
He's too good.
There's got to be a reason.
Too good, my friends.
Plus 30,000 on JT Compher. I'm going to put a dollar on that just for fun.
Why not, right?
Northbrook Zone.
All right, well, if you want to place your bets on PointsBet, it's very easy. Download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Do it right now and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, and a free CHGO membership, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. And remember, it is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better with live NBA same-game parlay. You can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the NBA Finals. Want more? You can also boost your live same-game parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And now online sign-up is available in Illinois. So get your phone out. Download the PointsBet app. Use that code CHGO, and you are good to go. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
And CHGO Blackhawks and the CHGO Sports Family is brought to you by Athletic Greens. They've recently come on as a sponsor here with us as we've launched, and they have done some wonders for my health so far with the AG1 formula. It is designed to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. I know I do love myself some coffee, but the natural energy from the AG1, I can feel that in the weeks and months that I've been using it. It definitely has made a difference. With AG1, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And if you follow different dietary restrictions, it's good to go, whether it's gluten-free, dairy-free, keto, whatever it is, AG1, you are set. It's easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you may be. It's a small once-a-day habit with big benefits. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of AG1 in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
Nice.
I don't know what that was, but okay.
That was from old school.
Frank the Tank.
Gotcha. All right. Well, and finally, the last way you can really support us, and that's very easy. That's becoming a member over at CHGO.
Yes.
AllCHGO.com. Become a member. You'll get access to all the amazing written content. And it's not just the Blackhawks. It's the Bulls. It's the Bears. It's the Cubs, the Sox, the Fire, the Red Stars, and the only reigning championship team in this city, the Sky. We got it all covered. There's great written content behind the paywall. Also, you get to go to the CHGO locker, the infamous lockers here at CHGO, and pick any shirt you want.
Yeah.
And we're going to send it to you. You can, obviously, we're biased. We want you to pick that beautiful Chicago Blackhawks one right there. Same logo that's on the YouTube screen. But we won't be mad at you if you wear one of our great other CHGO shirts.
So many to choose from.
I'm getting all choked up thinking about how great these shirts are. Obviously, we've got the CHGO ones. You could support us as a whole. The Bears one is great. I personally love the Sky shirt. The colors just pop.
Yeah,
the logo
beautiful.
Is amazing. Our two soccer shirts are great as well. You get to pick any one you want. We get it for free. And then you also get access to the members-only Discord server where you can get into all our chats, talk to a lot of our personalities, hang out in there, meet some new friends. Tell us why or why not trading Alex DeBrincat is a good idea. We're here for it all, and it's a very low monthly price. So go to allchgo.com. Become a member. Become part of the community. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build a community, and we can't have a community without you guys on the other side of this camera feeding back to us. So we look forward to you guys joining soon.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And reminder, those written pieces, it's all ad-free. AllCHGO.com is ad-free.
Clean.
So you won't get busted.
You won't get busted at work because a random video starts playing.
There's 700 things popping up, and you don't know where, and an ad playing 30 seconds you're trying to read.
Your money helps us get rid of all that nonsense.
All right, so ahead of tomorrow night's Stanley Cup Final getting underway, for Top Shelf Tuesday today, we're going to discuss some of our favorite Stanley Cup Final moments that do not include the Blackhawks, which is, that's a lot of the Stanley Cups to choose from.
Yeah.
The majority of my life,
quite a few of them.
Yeah. So the one I think, and we use it as the show image today for people in our generation, is 2001. Ray Bourque gets traded to Colorado and wins his first and only Stanley Cup. And I think he's one of those guys that was, at the time, and still is, kind of universally agreed on, and everybody liked him.
Yes.
Just a real class act guy who had a stellar career, most of which was spent playing in Boston, and they just never got a cup for him. And this was a clear cup chase. This trade, everybody knew was happening.
Yeah,
everyone knew before the deadline that Ray Bourque was going to go to Colorado. It happened, and he got his cup, and Joe Sakic handing the cup to Ray Bourque was a very, very cool hockey moment. And I love when, and we ties into the Hawks a little bit, 2010, they give it to Hossa.
Mm-hmm.
2013 was
Hanzus.
2015
Teeminen.
Was Kimmo Teeminen.
Mm-hmm.
Those veterans who had never won one before, getting it handed to them first by the captain. It's such a cool hockey tradition. And the first time I was really cognizant of that was Ray Bourque getting it in Colorado. Just an incredible Stanley Cup Final moment.
Well, and that was for me, the first Cup Final that I remember really watching and paying attention to. We were talking about it during before the show. That was the late 90s, early 2000s is right when I got into hockey, started really getting into it. And you know, I didn't really know who to, you know, put allegiance to. I lived in southeastern Wisconsin, so we didn't Wisconsin didn't have a hockey team. Chicago was 90 minutes away. I was like, oh, okay, Blackhawks. Oh, they're not that good. Okay, I guess I'll stick with them as a team. But as my generation and our generation kind of developed over the years, video games kind of play a factor into.
Sure.
You know, getting to know players and teams. And, you know, I played the early NHL games in that time. And in NHL 2001 and 2002, the Avalanche were absolutely just a monstrous team with Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg, and just the list goes on and on. Alex Tanguay, like, just really good. So I would always play with them. And so that was a team that I watched. And, yeah, I remember, you know, going through that time frame. That was the first cup final that I remember really paying attention to and really watching. And, I didn't understand it as, you know, being 11 years old. I was just like, oh, Ray Bourque, cool. Like, that's cool. They're passing the cup around. You know, it didn't register with me until I understood more of the history of the game and the history of Ray Bourque. I was like, wow, that moment is just, you know, you still you can go on YouTube and find, like, top moments in Stanley Cup final history, and that's always on there. Yep. And the call from Gary Thorne just makes it even better.
Raymond Bourque
for 22 years. Call. It's just one of those moments that it's just like that really can only be manufactured through the Stanley Cup and through that lens.
Well, thank you for making me feel old that you were 11 during the Stanley Cup final. I remember watching Ray Bourque get the Stanley Cup passed to him at a bar, and I wasn't even there on a fake ID. But that's a great one to remember. People forget. Everybody remembers Ray Bourque. But that was 7 games of Patrick Waugh versus Marty Brodeur.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was
give
right.
me that. Like,
oh, that was pretty fun.
I mean, and the Avalanche were actually down 3-2 in that series. They had to win the last 2 games of that series. Patrick Waugh says, nope, I'm going to do that. And he only allowed 1 goal combined in games 6 and 7. So
pretty good.
2 of the greatest goaltenders of all time, if you were to put a Mount Rushmore of goaltenders, those both of those guys are probably on it, and they're going at it in their, you know, tail ends of Waugh's career, but still amazing. That was good stuff. I always liked the Avalanche, those 90s, early 2000s teams, because, you know, the Hawks, that was at the tail end of the Hawks, and then the Hawks got really bad. So I needed a playoff team, and the Hawks weren't in it. So I went with the Avalanche because I loved Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg. And
you hated Detroit.
And I hated Detroit. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Good reason.
But you mentioned the video games helped you a lot in getting to know the players. And for me, it was hockey cards, but even more so the hockey. Remember the sticker albums?
Oh, yeah.
The Opeachy sticker albums. You would get this book, and it had each team had their own page, and there was a blank square for each player, and you collected packs of stickers.
Oh, wow.
And then you would put the sticker on each team page and try and fill out each one.
Oh, nice. That'd
Those were awesome. And that's how I, like, got into the playoffs. And that's my earliest Stanley Cup memory was pre-Mario. I don't even think you were born in 1989, were
nope,
you?
Nope, not yet.
Jesus.
I was 10 days short of 1989.
So, yeah, okay. Anyway, 89 Cup Final was...
what do you want me to do? Be older?
Be older.
Yes, be older.
Sorry. That's what we want.
Join the Greybeard Club with the rest of us.
If you look closely, there's...
Oh, don't worry, you have a daughter.
You
got to
look
coming.
Closely.
Yeah.
I know. They could see it through the camera.
We're almost 8 months in, and there's, like, we're getting there.
Yep.
But 89 was my first Cup Final I really got into, and I was kind of telling you guys the story, but that was the Calgary Flames Montreal Canadiens. It was Lonnie McDonald's last ride, and just to show you how a kid's mind works, and I'm dating myself even more here, but there used to be a rust proofing company called Rusty Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, when you went and got your car serviced at Rusty Jones, they put a little decal on your window, and the guy was Rusty Jones. The mascot was a red-haired guy with a big mustache, and that was on my grandpa's car growing up. So when I saw Lonnie McDonald, I was like, that's the guy from grandpa's car. I want him to win the Stanley Cup. And as I got older, and then you get to learn about Lonnie McDonald and, like, how everybody essentially out of Montreal, outside of Montreal, I was rooting for him to win that cup, and that was his last game, and he finally got it. So that's the first one I was really invested in, was that 89 Flames Because I think that was actually the first year that we actually had cable TV at my house, too. So we actually were able to watch it.
There you go.
So that was another reason for the Lonnie McDonald, Rusty Jones, and Lawrence is trying to get us the picture. We'll get it here for you. For you kids out there, for you youngins, Rusty Jones
Rusty
was
Jones
a thing back
guaranteed
in the day.
Rust proofing.
There it is. There's Rusty slash Lonnie. So when you're 10 years old and you see Lonnie McDonald out on the ice, the first thing I think of is Grandpa's car. That guy worked on Grandpa's car. I hope he wins the Stanley Cup so he doesn't have to work on cars anymore.
Yeah. it's so cool, you know, for a guy, too, with, like, that long of a career, that beloved, to win his cup on the last day of his career.
On, like, one leg, too. And he was so injured,
yeah,
too.
There's so many iconic photos of guys with their Stanley Cup.
Scored the clinching goal in that game, I believe, too.
He is just hugging it like a child.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his eyes closed. His head is rested against the bowl. Just like, I finally did it. I can finally call it a career. You know, to tie it like to the Cubs, like kind of like David Ross, like a very similar kind of a thing, like a big personality, not the most talented guy in the whole world, but really good for a long time. Just never got a shot. And to have that moment in your last game, just incredible. It's there's so many cool images of Lonnie McDonald winning that cup. I was not really cognizant of hockey until you talk about video games. The EA Sports series really got me into it.
Yeah.
Even
EA Sports.
Yeah.
It's in the game.
Like NHL 93, 94. I always like 95 the best. I don't know why. I think maybe that's when I got good at it.
Is that the one where they could bleed?
I think 93 was the head bleed.
No, yeah, they got rid of it in 94 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only for like a season or two. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, Swingers. You know, they played the exactly. the MIDI version of Here Come the Hawks on there. And
oh, yeah.
It's how you would learn players. And look, half the Hawks games of the year weren't on TV. So I was cognizant of the Hawks Cup final in 92, and I was into it. But I really became a big Hawks fan after that. Like 93, 94, 95 is really like my formative years as a Hawks fan.
Joe Murphy.
Yeah, Joe Murphy. Well, Joe Murphy was one of my favorites until he told me to go F off at a Who concert.
Hey now.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, it's Joe Murphy. He's like, hey. No, he said, go F yourself. I'm like,
yeah, well.
I just recognized Joe Murphy. I should get some credit for that, not scorn.
Well, and then who ended up F-ing himself in the end?
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's a sad story,
it
man.
Is.
It's That's you tough. Know, and I'm sure at the time he was going through some troubling, but obviously. That was like my first like don't meet your heroes moment of many.
Yeah.
But hey, you're Joe Murphy. Hey, go F yourself. Okay. Well,
sorry.
Oh, I'm 17, so I have been.
How dare you interrupt Bob O'Reilly?
Yeah, right. That was after the show too.
Mm.
We were like walking to the parking lot. Joe Murphy at Tinley Park, jerk.
Wait, was that? Was that the Quadrophenia tour?
No, it was not a specific. It was like a greatest hit show.
It was the Roger Daltrey has alimony payments tour.
They played Behind Blue Eyes twice.
Oh, God. Because
the first time Roger Daltrey was like, that sucked. We're doing it again. And we're all like, oh, okay. We're going to hear Behind Blue Eyes again.
Free music.
I was in Tinley Park for the Quadrophenia tour, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And that was
put on a hell of a show.
Entwistle is still alive. And
yep. Yeah. Mackenzie Entwistle?
Not quite.
Yeah. Well,
Kenzie Antwistle probably wasn't even born yet.
All right. So,
no.
I've got a lot of favorite cup moments, but as I was reflecting on this, my new favorite is very recent. 2020 Cup Final, Game 3, Steven Stamkos plays two shifts.
Yeah.
Was it two? I thought it was just the one.
He played 247 of that game.
Oh, my God.
So, unless it was one super long shift,
no,
which
I don't think it was.
He comes in, takes a shot, scores a goal, and then basically never plays again. He had not played in the playoffs before then and did not play after. It was one magical moment for Steven Stamkos.
And he had like some sort of like
core injury.
Yeah, like a core muscle like
and
just
and
tear.
Somebody who's been doing yoga for the last 13 months, I know how important the core muscle is. And if that thing were to ever like shred, ugh.
That's why I don't have any.
Think about just
Galaxy
like
brain.
You know your
taking
core muscles
David
like
route.
Breathing and like just like shifting your body.
Think
like,
about skating with a core
yeah,
injury.
Yeah, just
and then
yeah, just
scoring a goal
skating.
In the Stanley Cup final game, the game what? Winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also in the context of the time, everybody thought Stamkos was done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, it was play out this contract. Maybe he finished his career on LTIR or whatever. Like, we're never going to see Steven Stamkos again. Then all of a sudden, this year, he has, like, basically a career year, is the guy who everyone knew he was early in his career, unbelievable comeback for him.
He's only 32 years old.
I know, and we're talking about him.
I heard that last night on the NHL Network. I was like, wait, what?
Is a potential Conn Smythe winner.
Not according to PointsBet.
But his career, we're going to make a call, though. We're going to make a call.
We'll try and get that figured out. His career ended in 2020.
We'll get that figured out, yeah.
But just in the context of that moment, that was magical.
Oh, yeah.
And it reminds me of, it wasn't a cup final game, so it doesn't count, but Mario Lemieux's last game, where he gets a breakaway and scores at the end of the game. I had no interest in Penguins and Flyers at that time. I was sobbing. Sobbing. That was such a magical moment for Mario Lemieux. And he scores and he's like, looks up to the heavens. He's got his hands out. Like, that was such a memorable moment. And the Stamkos thing, like, all right, he's going to give it a go. Comes out, scores, and they're like, he's not playing anymore today. Yeah. It's just amazing. Like, yeah. That's the sort of stuff that you'll tell your grandkids about throughout history. Like,
it's stuff. It's folklore.
Absolutely.
It's folklore. It's Casey at the bat type stuff. Yeah. Except he actually hit
the ball. Yeah. It actually happened. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's
Babe Ruth calling his shot at Wrigley Field allegedly and hitting a home run in the World Series, except this actually happened. Like, yeah. It's the stuff that legends are made of. It's the stuff you talk about at Hall of Fame induction speeches.
Mm-hmm. We talk about two, like, other truly iconic cup final moments. You've got the Messier guarantee in 94, and then that image of him like shaking the cup and nodding. So there it is on our
screen. I love that series too, because foreshadowing or whatever you want to call it. I love this series because I'm the biggest Steve Larmer fan on the planet.
Yes, you are.
And I am such a Steve Larmer fan that he actually made me think it was okay for one spring for New York team.
Wow.
So yeah, more on Steve Larmer Thursday, I believe. Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. He's not responded to me on Twitter yet. So
well, Thursday is Steve Larmer's birthday, and we're gonna dedicate our Throwback Thursday episode to good old number 28, who should be in the gosh darn Hockey Hall of Fame by now. But more on that on Thursday.
It's almost absurd.
That was the stuff of legendary. We're gonna win Game Seven. They win Game Seven, and that was the conference final.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they caused Vancouver.
I was a Devils fan back then.
I was rooting for, I was rooting for the Rangers, but I wouldn't have been broken. I always had a soft spot for the Devils. And then, of course, they caused Vancouver for another post-Stanley Cup final riot. I believe that was the first one.
Good job. Congratulations, Vancouver.
And then they got to repeat that again 2011, in
2011.
Yeah. So. But I think when we talk about the most iconic Stanley Cup image, it's Bobby Orr flying through the air.
Yeah.
Sweeping the Blues, just like the Superman pose.
The goal.
That's called the goal, and you know what people are talking about.
It's pretty iconic. Pretty
special. Yeah.
It's one of those sports images that everyone can identify, whether they're a fan of the game or not. Very similar to the Jordan dunk from the free throw line, like just that still image, right, of Jordan, like
that Jordan. Behind the other the basket with the against the Lakers in the final that was on that Gatorade commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I remember.
Yeah,
isn't Bobby Orr's statue in Boston?
It's the
lion. Yeah. So it's
though he should be wearing a Hawks jersey, my friend.
should be outside the United Center.
Yeah, black right next to the pinball machine at the bottom lounge.
For me, again, I'm going to be the young person on the show. I don't really remember too much of the 2002 final, I think probably because it was the Red Wings, and I was just like, I'm not going to really watch them. But 2003, with my childhood and hockey, the Mighty Ducks were huge at that time and a huge part of it. So with the Ducks being in the Cup final, I was a big fan of Paul Kariya. I've mentioned on the show the late 90s, early 2000s. If you were short and good, you were my guy. So Paul Kariya, I was a big fan of him. And knowing how his career and life changed from that moment makes it a little weird, but Scott Stevens knocking him out in the final and then him coming back and scoring in the game, I mean, that is one of the craziest highlights, I think, that there will ever be in hockey. And it sticks out to me, being young and watching those games. Obviously, the Ducks didn't end up winning the series, but that was one of those moments where it was just
the J.S. Giguere run.
Yeah,
the goalie just gets hot, takes him to the final.
Exactly.
And again, Marty Brodeur in your way.
Yep.
That was a great series. The 99 Cup final was big for me. That was the Buffalo Dallas.
Brett Hull in the
Hull's foot in the crease. But it was leading up to that final that sticks with me because my family, it was our last family vacation really before my sister and I got old enough to go on our own. And we went to Yellowstone. We spent 2.5 weeks in Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons. And when you're in Yellowstone Park, there's nothing to do when the sun goes down. They pretty much tell you don't be hanging out in dark because you can get ripped apart by a bear or a wolf.
Yeah.
And there's no lights. So
or both.
Right. Depending on which one gets you first. So we would go back to the hotel, we'd get dinner, go back to the hotel, and we would watch the hockey as a family. And that was Stars Avalanche in the Western Conference Final. I believe that was a 7-game series, so I was so involved. And then, you know, then it leads to that memorable goal, and I wanted Buffalo to win so bad because I loved Dominic Hasek, and I was still one of those guys like, they shouldn't be playing hockey in Texas. They shouldn't win a cup. And I always hated Brett Hull, so, you know, that just – enraged me, but that's a memorable one.
Speaking of Brett Hull, shout out moment for that BS overtime winner that was illegal. Yep. His foot was in the crease. That was the rule at the time that had been called to the tee every game leading up to that moment. And then at the biggest moment possible, they decided to not call it that way. Bad call.
Sham cup.
Well, it's however, they had already blown off the fireworks. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you can't. You can't reload them.
You can't put the bullet back in the gun, apparently.
Well, good news is that was the end of that rule.
Yes.
Where like, oh, his skate blade is in the crease, so therefore it's not a goal. It was a bad rule, but it was still a rule. Was the rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just it should like not delay, have won the cup.
The delay a game rule drives me up the wall, too, nowadays.
Yeah. So that's my special shout-out cup moment because it ended a terrible rule. Mm-hmm. But a really bad way to lose a cup is to have – what. We've been doing it this way all year. What are we doing?
Yeah. That would be like a goaltender interference rule review.
Don't put that in the universe, buddy. Hey, don't put that out.
Don't
there.
Put anything past the NHL referees right now.
All the good vibes heading into this series, they will destroy that with an offside review that lasts 28
minutes. Any reviews or anything like that? Like I. Really hope it nothing comes
all right, so
down
Mario
to
brought up the glorious riding in Vancouver, and when I think of iconic moments or photos personally, I mean, is there anything more iconic than this
photo
right
nothing,
here?
Good. Nothing like getting a little loving as a riot's going on
the Vancouver kissing couple in the middle of that riot is just one of the craziest photos.
It's one
ever
of the wildest
taken.
Pictures. The story behind it is crazy too.
How old is the baby that was conceived? 2 minutes later,
11, I guess.
The kid's got to be like 11? In this.
It was nice of the Vancouver police though to create a barrier around them so they can get down to business. That was very thoughtful. The one I think of
it's
from
Canadian,
the riots,
it's Canadian nice.
Is the teenage kid holding the hockey stick, screaming outside of a bank that's got the window broken. Kid with glasses, he's like, and he's gonna Canucks t-shirt and he's got a hockey stick and the glass is broken behind him. Like, wow, you should be used to this by now.
There are still no cups in Canada since 1993.
It's crazy.
Yep. Well, one last quick one here. I know we're up against it, but the most recent cup final that I really enjoyed was 2018 Capitals Vegas. Yes. That had a lot of great story. You had the Vegas run. That was before they got super annoying. And
Vegas was flurry.
And then you had Ovechkin, you know, say what you want about him, whatever. Yeah. I have loved watching Alex Ovechkin play his entire career. The dude has been amazing. I feel blessed that I've been able to watch his entire career. I wanted him to get a Stanley Cup so bad. And when they were able to do it, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was the most recent final. Since then, I've kind of been like, meh. I watch it because you know it's kind of my
the
job.
Final. Yeah.
But this year, this is the most excited I've been about a Stanley Cup final since this Capitals Vegas one.
Whenever you have a transcendent player like Ovechkin,
a generational player,
yes, and they don't win, think about Dan Marino.
Yeah,
where like the entire narrative of this incredible football player is, well, he never won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Got there once
and
his
you
rookie
want,
season, never
like,
went back.
McDavid needs to win a cup.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews needs to win a cup.
Yeah.
You need these great players to win cups.
Like Charles Barkley, the first thing they say is never won a championship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is, well, you know, he's sort of reinvented himself in the broadcast realm.
Right.
But yeah, like to have that be the qualifier
Patrick
in your
Ewing.
Career, that sucks, especially in a team sport like that. That's a really tough thing to live down. Yeah, and I think that's why I was glad to see Ovechkin get one.
It's hard. People will tear you down when you say this guy's one of the greatest players ever. Well, he never won a title. Well, it's a team sport. Like, it's not necessarily his fault. So when you get that added to your resume, it will shut up that sector of the fandom.
Like, I look at Joe Thornton. Like, he had an incredible career. Yeah,
first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt.
And never got a
cup. Not yet. He's going to play for another 9 years.
I mean, potentially, yeah.
That's who Captain Alex DeBrincat is going to hand the Stanley Cup to in 2027.
There you go.
Fourth line center, 50-year-old
Joe Thornton.
His beard is going to be down to his knees.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that 2018 final was a great final. Even though it was only five games, it was just a great final and full of – you know, incredible moments. One that sticks out to me was the, I think it was a 2-1 game. I think it was game three or four. I can't remember exactly. But Vegas had a 2-on-1 or a breakaway, and it looked like it was a sure goal, and Braden Holtby just with the paddle stops it right on the goal line late in the third period, completely shifting the momentum of the series, and the Capitals go on to win. You know, that was the Capitals and Ovechkin finally getting past, you know, we talk about, you know, the Blackhawks and their, you know, finally getting past the Red Wings in 2013 and kind of avenging that. And, you know, the Capitals and the Penguins for those 2010s were just, that was the Eastern Conference rivalry. And you knew most years the Cup was going through that, you know, going through that series. And it just, the Capitals could just never get past the second round, never get past the Penguins. And again, second round, Penguins, they get past them. Just, you know, I remember the goal, Kuznetsov with, you know, flapping his wings. And it was just like, at that moment, they still had to go through the Eastern Conference final to get to the Stanley Cup final. But it was just like, that was the moment where you're like, this Capitals team is going to do it. And I'm a lot like you, Greg. Like, I've always loved watching Ovechkin play and seeing him, finally raised the cup. You just see it as he's just, with missing the tooth. Like, it was just the elation that he had was awesome, and it led to the summer of Ovi, which was which just as fun.
Epic.
It was a lot of fun.
Speaking of mythological folklore, so many great stories were forgotten in that summer.
Oh, no doubt.
And, of course, the post-celebration gave us a great moment off the ice right there in Vegas. You can Google that.
That was fun, too.
There was a couple extra spectators in the crowd that night.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas,
unless
TV.
It's shown on NBC Sports.
All right, we're going to wrap the show up here. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy CHGO, remember the best way to help us continue to grow is to download that PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Any questions, shoot an email to pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll get you squared away. And remember, online sign-up is available now in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And a reminder, tomorrow we continue our player evaluations. We've got, I have it here on the calendar, and
it's,
I already forgot. It is D-Day. Alex DeBrincat, and Calvin DeHaan. So make sure you join us for that show as well. We're trying to find a Columbus Blue Jackets guest to talk about Brad Shaw, but it's a busy week in Columbus, apparently.
Everybody's on jury duty in Columbus.
Yeah, lots going on. Lots going on in
something big happening
C-town?
In Columbus.
I don't know. No one calls it that.
C-Town?
Yeah, sure.
The bus.
There we go. Big time's happening in the bus. So
Columbus.
We'll get to it. I'm sure we've got some time yet. But remember to join us tomorrow at 11 for our player evaluations and a whole lot more on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.